Everybody, thank you so much for tuning in the Remy Radio program. We have an exciting guest by the name of John Fornoff that's going to be on the show. Before I introduce him, I want to read through his bio, which I didn't even know he did all these things. I already knew he did a lot of things, but my goodness, John, you've been a busy guy. So John's been producing radio and television and film for over 30 years, and he specialized in audio dramas. That I did know. Someone once dubbed him the Spielberg of audio dramas, which made him blush, by the way. And as a director, John's had the privilege of working on a lot of projects, Lord of the Rings, Downton Abbey, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Chronicles of Narnia, Braveheart, just to name a few. He's also directed and produced A Quiet Revolution, which is the story of John LaFleur, and that's a civil rights documentary. He worked on The Mighty A, a short film with the original crew members of the battleship USS Alabama. Sounds very exciting. I would like to learn more about that. And he wrote and helped to develop The Ribbits, which is an animated series which was created by Disney producer Rob Gardner, and was a story editor and consultant on videos for The Adventures in Odyssey. That's a lot of stuff, John, that you've been working on. I didn't even get to the bottom part here yet. But in 2009, John was asked to help launch the Lamplighter Theater, and he did that with Mark Hamby. And that's a popular program. It grew to over 1,700 radio outlets in more than 30 countries. And that's just to name some of the things. John, is there anything else you want to talk about on your bio before we get into anything else?
That's very kind, very gracious. Because I didn't actually work on like Lord of the Rings and all that. I worked with people that were on Lord of the Rings, like John Rhys Davies,
George
Froggatt, and Anthony Daniels, and just make it clear, so like so everyone's clear. But I love working with those people. Yeah,
man. Well, that's a great bio, and that means you obviously have a pretty extensive understanding of Hollywood, I would imagine, right?
You know, I hope so.
If anybody can understand Hollywood, that is, right? I mean, if we could truly get our hands and arms around Hollywood. Pastor T.D. Jakes said Hollywood, you know, we look at Hollywood as like a nebulous institution. You know, it's kind of hard to really understand. But I'm so glad to have you on the show, John. And you have recently moved, I believe, to the L.A. area, and you're working now hands-on, even though you've been working in Hollywood for years. And, you know, right off the bat, I mean, I've been talking to a lot of people about all the great Christian movies and content that has been, you know, created in the last several years. We're really seeing some momentum. And you've been in the industry for many years. What's your take on what you're seeing out there?
Oh, yeah. First of all, thank you for having me on the show.
Yes, sir.
This is exciting, Todd. So thank you, man. You know, it's cool because when I first got into it, first was here, it's kind of like the beginning of the industry. Really, it got, I mean, it had some roots way back, but just the recent, I guess, renaissance or whatever for Christian film, it's like when your cousin is singing in a talent show and they're not really good.
You're
applauding, but you're wincing at the same time.
That's true.
Oh, I want to like it, but I'm not really liking it.
That's true.
That's how it started. It was kind of like hokey, kind of cheesy, you know. It's like, oh, well, it got on the screen.
No, I agree 100%.
Well, what I've seen is over the years, it's getting better and better and better. We're getting better with story, better with acting, better with cinematography. It's like it's still growing and growing and growing. But you compare films that are coming out like this year with when the like you know 10 years ago. Oh, it's amazing.
Right.
I'm encouraged too.
And by the way, I didn't even get to mention this, but John was a central figure with Hollywood Alive, which was the precursor to Remnant Radio and the show that we're doing now. So I just want to thank you, John. You've been a partner for years, and John's been a support, a prayer warrior, and I just wanted to mention that and honor you on that, John.
Thank you.
So much going on in Hollywood. We just saw the movie Breakthrough the other day, a great film, by the way. Really had me tearing up, and you know, just a powerful film that I believe a lot of people are actually getting a breakthrough from watching. To your point, John, I mean, the quality has gotten better. So for somebody listening that doesn't really understand the industry and how it works, you know, what is the significance of the fact that a lot of these Christian film companies and, you know, are really going around some of the major studios? How does that work? And, you know, what does that mean?
Well, there's it's interesting what's happening. A couple of things are happening. Well, one of the big things was after Passion of the Christ came out, Mel Gibson, that really was the start of a lot of things.
Right.
A lot of major studios started their own faith film division, which is pretty amazing. But there are studios now that are launching things independently. Like, they're going around the system like you're talking about. So
yeah,
there are people working within the system and people working outside the system.
Right.
And you know what? We need both.
That's
we
right.
Both.
And the people inside the system, I think what's happening is that the big studio companies are seeing that, you know, there's definitely an audience for these types of faith-based films and family-friendly films. And, you know, in the past, that was the excuse. Oh, there's no audience. No one wants to see that. Well, that's nonsense because, you know, people are going out in the droves to support these films. So I can see that some of the big companies are starting to realize that. And I think that's where the in-house ones that you're talking about, right?
Yes, it was interesting. Is I call it like okay, this is gonna sound a little weird.
Yeah.
But it's sort of like a belly button. They're innies and outies. Okay,
right.
The people that are inside they're inside the studios,
mm-hmm.
and those are people. And why this is so important is because the big picture is we've got to be supporting each other.
Right.
We've got people inside the studios, inside the system, inside Babylon,
yeah,
trying to work from the inside.
Right.
We've got people outside the system that are just doing something totally independent. And you've got biblical models for both.
Mm.
You've got people that are inside, and those are like Joseph.
Right.
Daniel from the Bible, they are working within the system to change the system from the inside.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
Then you've got people outside that are like Moses. They're like, get out of Egypt.
Mm.
You know, like, don't go there. It's like, and they're called out. Okay?
Yeah.
And you know what? Both are legit. Both need support. And I think where we as Christian filmmakers, if you're a filmmaker, you're either in or an outie, okay? You're
yeah.
inside the system or you're outside.
Right.
But you know what? If you've got somebody inside that you're looking at, or you're inside looking at somebody outside, there's kind of there's a little bit of arrogance on each side.
Mm.
The people inside are saying, well, you can't be a legitimate filmmaker and
right.
not be part of the system.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
Then you've got people on the outside that, well, you can't be a legitimate Christian and be on the inside. It's like, I've heard this from the stage one time.
Mm.
You cannot be a Christian and be in Hollywood. It's like, what did
yeah.
you just say? It's like, so what we're doing is we're wasting our ammunition on friendly fire.
Ooh, that's good.
And you picture two turrets, two tanks going into war, and the turrets are pointing at each other.
Wow.
We got to get our turrets pointed where they belong, at the enemy.
Yes.
Support each other. You know, cover each other's backs.
Yes.
You know?
Man, you're on fire.
You might have what's that?
You're on fire.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like, but we need to be supporting each other, encouraging each other. Maybe you're not in my field, or maybe that's what I'm called to, but you know what? I'm going to support you in it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to champion you rather than fighting against each other, you know?
No, and I think that's, you know, not just in Hollywood in the Christian community, this is the greater body of Christ, too, because we're seeing so much friendly fire. And I mean, honestly, John, I mean, a lot of the criticism I get, it's not from people in the world. I hate to say it, you know. In fact, people in the world are pretty receptive to some of the things we're doing. Now, don't get me wrong, there's people
mm-hmm.
that attack, you know, us on a regular basis, so I don't want to, you know, negate that fact. But the most painful or hurtful thing to me, and I would, you know, often tell my wife this, is when it is from friendly fire, when it is from within the
mm-hmm.
community. Because, you know, to me, it's just like, what? Like, you don't see my heart. You don't see what we're trying to do. We admit we're far from perfect, but, you know, why are you targeting me? You know, so I understand what you're saying. I think that's a very valid point, and it goes even beyond Hollywood. But that's happening in Hollywood. And, you know, to your point, a lot of people have even said to me, can Christians even survive in Hollywood? Is there a way to even have a career in Hollywood? Because, you know, so many times you're asked to compromise. And, you know, how do you deal with that? You know, what has your experience been in watching that play out over the years?
You know, I have not, most of the stuff I do is faith-based.
Right.
So I don't run into that much where I am forced to make a compromise. And I respect those who are deep in the system and they have to make those choices on a daily basis.
Yeah.
And I admire that. And I have this gut feel that's where the next battleground God's taking me into.
Mm.
I've really enjoyed where I've been,
yeah.
but it's been kind of safe.
Right.
And God's not necessarily called us to be safe.
Right.
He's called us to be in Him. That's, Yeah. And there's this phrase that comes to mind. It's safer to be with God in the midst of war than to be apart from God in the midst of comfort.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. Yep.
Yeah. And it's like, and there's something about where God has, the bottom line is, where has God called you? So, yeah. I think he's calling me more into like, you know, I'm a singer in faith movies, that kind of stuff. And you know what? Everything we do as Christians, everything we do is faith-based,
right.
You know?
Right.
I mean, you could be producing, this is so cool. When I do a secular commercial,
yeah,
I'll weave in Bible verses, like, or Bible concepts.
Yeah.
And that's where the power that the commercial comes out. So when you listen, it's like, wow, that's good. And it feels like, sometimes I feel like I'm plagiarizing God. You know? He'll give me something really cool. And I write it down. People say, that's really good. And I'm looking at God saying, okay, I know where that came from, you know?
Yes.
So I think just what I have seen is, I've seen people, I've got a good friend that has worked in the industry, a prominent writer, worked on some major shows. And he worked on, Christians just ate him up because he was working on a secular show. And here's a guy who's being a light in the darkness.
Right.
And he says, you have no idea what I stopped.
Wow.
You know?
Wow.
Stuff that was coming out. He says, you have no idea.
Yeah.
And he was there at the forefront. So he was...
Hey, John, you're cutting out, man.
The non-Christian, in the writer's room,
okay.
they would just persecute him. So he's getting persecuted from within, and then friendly fire from without.
Oh,
you know,
it's like,
we got to stop that friendly fire thing. We got to support people that are doing it, that are really in the forefront of things.
Absolutely, 100% agree. And sorry, you were cutting out there for a second there, but I think you stabilized. Man, I mean, the battle is tough. Hollywood is like a ground zero. You know, I always say to people, I mean, because the enemy is not omnipresent. See, God is everywhere at the same time. We tend to, as Christians, say that, you know, God and the devil are like equal opposites. You know, it's absolutely untrue. Absolutely untrue. No, the devil was a created being. He is an archangel, you know, definitely a powerful being, but he's not everywhere at once, and he's not equal to God, not even in the slightest. So understanding that dynamic and understanding the reality of that, I always say, you know, if I were the devil, as, you know, I think there's an old script that talks about that, but, you know, if I were the devil, I would probably hang out in Hollywood or in Israel or in the Middle East, right? So those are two, you know, because if you think about it, Hollywood is really sending out content that the whole world watches, and it influences, you know, celebrities have tremendous influence, and, you know, it really shapes and affects culture. If we think of Jesus, you know, in his ministry here on the earth, when he was fully God, fully man, he was telling stories a lot of times in parable form, you know? And so, you know, I think that the enemy has used that in Hollywood to also, you know, shape culture and bring in more aspects of sin. But at the same time, as you mentioned, there's this contingent, there's this group of warriors that are in Hollywood that are praying and seeking God. It's always really piqued my interest, and I've been a part of that group and definitely interviewed many in that group, and you're a part of that group. And, you know, these people have a heart for Hollywood to be representing Jesus. And a lot of times, to your point, you know, they get tremendous flack from inside the community of Christians because people say, well, just leave Hollywood alone. They're awful. You know, we don't want anything to do with them. Well, to me, that's just the opposite, because we need to be taking the territory for Jesus. And I know the warfare is intense, but, you know, those that are willing to do it, that are saying, send me, I'll go, like you, John, you're in there. You know, just tell us a little bit about, what is the cost? I know it's a heavy cost, but how do you deal with it, you know, in prayer? And what are some things that you've done to fight spiritually to take the territory?
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And you know, one thing, I'd encourage anybody that's called to the industry, like they're called to a field to go to, is, and especially with Hollywood. And what I found is, when you're called to something, you make sure you're plugged into community, a strong Christian community.
Yeah.
You cannot do it alone. You can't do it alone. You'll get picked off.
Right.
And I found that to be true. So I'm plugged into church. I'm plugged into if communities are plugged into friends, you know,
right.
Friends like Todd, you know,
yes.
It's just like, people that have your, and I appreciate you, man, you stood with me through some really tough stuff, and I just thank you for that.
Oh, likewise.
And that's what you need. You need brothers. If you're sister, you need sisters. You need people that are covering your back in prayer.
Yes.
That are in the battle with you. And, you know, even to this point, and it depends if God's leading this way. God, here's some strategies God's given me. First of all, get plugged into community. First of all, number one, am I called?
Right.
Make sure that's the first thing.
Right.
If I'm called, then what's the timing? Then go. Make sure I'm plugged in community. Make sure I'm plugged into a strong church community, strong Christian friends, people that really know spiritual warfare.
Yeah.
Another point is to have a prayer team, intercessory prayer team.
Yes.
People that are willing to pray for you, like, say, by once a week or twice a week, whatever, that you send them a prayer request. Like, I'm going through a battle right now. Could you pray with me?
Yes.
Those people, so I've done these things, and that has helped me tremendously. And I hope that helps somebody listening. It's just like, if you have a big calling on your life, you've got a calling that you really need that community, you need that prayer, those prayer warriors around you to support you and encourage you in the battle.
Because
it is a battle.
It is.
And if you get alone, you get picked off.
Absolutely. So you're saying there's real Bible-believing Christians operating in Hollywood, right?
Oh, wow, yes. Yes. And that's the myth. You know, if you're outside of Hollywood, you're thinking, oh, it's Sodom and Gomorrah. And there's not even 10 people there that can, you know, it's like, no, that's Sodom and Gomorrah, okay? We're not talking Sodom and Gomorrah. We're talking Karen Cavell, Hollywood Star Network.
So yeah.
It's not Sodom and Gomorrah. It's Nineveh.
Yes.
Like, oh, that's a great, great analogy here.
Yeah.
Is because there are people that that just need Jesus here.
Yeah.
And if you've got a heart for them, it's like there's a reason God's given you a heart for them, because they could be won over, and God will show you the way into their heart to win them over.
Mm.
And so it's not destined for destruction.
Right.
It is destined for God's purpose.
Yes.
And God wants to do something through Hollywood.
Yes, he does.
And they're a powerful thing. He loves people.
Yes.
Well, I can feel it. You know, when you're called to a mission field, there's something about you get a heart for the people you're called
to. That's true. Yes,
it is. I love the people here. I loved them before I came here. It's
right.
Like, I just want to hug them all. You know, it's like, I want to love you guys.
And they need a hug. Like,
yes, they do. Oh, boy, don't we all? Yeah. And it's like, God's giving me just this heart, just a love on them, you know?
Yeah,
and love them to God.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, so all that, I hope that helps somebody out there just kind of listen to what, you know, that kind of thing. So
no, I think
that's what I found has really helped me.
That's great stuff, man. And it's encouraging to hear, you know, how you've worked your way through this and God's revealed this to you. And I would just say, you know, it's spot on. I've watched you walk through it. I've seen the warfare. I've seen the attacks, but I've seen you sustain and press ahead. And, you know, God continues to open new doors and, you know, he's with you 100%. And, you know, to anybody that's listening, like, you know, John said, don't compromise to get to your calling either, because you never have to do that. The Lord will always make a way. If he's called you to a territory, he's called you to the land to do something, he's going to make a way. He's going to open a door. And in fact, you know, it's really all about the process. That's what I've learned. It's all about the process. So God is looking at our heart, that we remain, you know, righteous and walking out his calling for us and not compromising to get there. And he does the rest. And it's in his timing. And, you know, sometimes we're living on manna, you know, and, and I know a lot of people out there understand that financially, you know, it's not always easy. But this is one of the things. Now, here's the other thing that I've noticed being out here for a while, John, is that, you know, I think I came in, I'm just going to be transparent and honest. I think I came in a little judgmental myself. And that's because I came from a very conservative background, you know, very, you know, black or white, you know, and I mean, and it was a good upbringing. I mean, as far as, I'm not just talking my family, I'm talking the church that we used to serve. And I still go to that church and I preach there and I love that church. And, you know, I mean, I can't say anything but amazing things about the ministry and, you know, all the other ministries that we grew up around. I mean, it was kind of a similar situation. Then I went into Hollywood. And I'll be honest, you know, to me, it was a lot of newness and a lot of differences from some of the things that I had seen historically. And my first response and reaction was probably to judge, just because it was so different, you know, and the way that people minister even out there. And I'm not saying that all the ministries are legit. See, this is a fine line here, because there is some compromise going on out there. And we call that out, too. But, you know, what I'm trying to say is that sometimes you'll see things. I'll give another example. I went to a service one time, and they were leading worship in a African style where they were playing drums, and it was almost like a tribal thing, you know? And again, my first response was like, this isn't worship, you know, this isn't Hillsong or, you know, what I'm used to, right? You know, and so I thought, you know, right away I started getting judgmental. But John, what I noticed is that the presence of God was there, and the Lord worked on my heart, and he said, you know what, just because it's not what you're used to, make sure that you don't understand, I'm still here. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and so I think it's similar. I'm not saying every Hollywood ministry is legit, but I think there is some differences in Hollywood, and when you're on the land and on the territory, and so to your point, there's people that are in the industry working for the big studios, you know, in the shows, you know, on the staff, on the, you know, maybe they're a producer and a, you know, executive producer, associate producer, maybe they're, you know, whatever they're doing, you know, a grip person, but they're on the set and they're working with celebrities and they have a, you know, makeup person, and they're just a little bit here and there, they're praying and they're asking the Lord to give them words while they have some time to speak with some of the cast and the celebrities, and you know, and they're bringing in some light into an otherwise dark place. And we're really quick, you know what I'm saying? So I think there's something to that where I had to learn a little bit to be a little more understanding, you know, and really to understand what the mission is, because I think that's the key, is what is the mission here, you know? And so you want to color that in a little bit?
Oh, sure. Yeah, it's interesting, and I just found this out just a little while ago, but at each one of the major studios in Hollywood, there is a prayer group.
Hmm. Wow.
Isn't that fascinating? Now, I'm going to push it even further. I went to do a prayer walk around at Disney with some prayer team there, and they mentioned that there's something like over 20 prayer groups at Disney. Mm. It's like, what?
That's interesting.
So when people condemn Hollywood, what we're doing is we're cursing our brothers and sisters who are in there trying to make a difference. Instead, we need to be supporting them and encouraging them.
Wow.
And there's some powerful things going on behind the scenes.
Yes.
And it's people that have been here on the land for decades, they've seen major changes.
Yes.
It'll be hard to get a group of Christians into an apartment, into a living room of apartment. You know, all the Christians were in Hollywood.
Yeah.
And now they're like thousands. And there's a reason God is calling Christians here. There's a shift happening the gate. And I'd love to talk about that too. We gave up the gate to Hollywood years ago.
Yes,
we
did.
And it is time to take it back.
Amen. I mean, I just talked about it the other day, you know, the big right there on Sunset and Vine, I think it is, or right there. No, I'm sorry. Hollywood and Highland. The big complex that they built was actually designed after a set that was the Courts of Babylon. I mean, that's just interesting, you know, very interesting.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's a lot of spiritual dynamic going on there. And when I study the history of Hollywood, you know, I found that in the initial stages, Hollywood was actually like a place where people came almost like as a retreat center. It was like a place of respite. And then, you know, even understanding more about it, like as Hollywood developed into, you know, making films and productions, there were people that were like spiritual advisors that would, you know, advise based on, you know, if the content was something that should be produced or if there was an issue or whatnot. So how did we get from being like an industry that was totally basically moral, you know, to what it is today? And then I think that'll kind of segue into what you were just talking about.
Oh, great. Yeah, thank you. This is encouraging because actually, if you go back to some of the early films started like at the turn of the century in the 1900s, around there.
Right.
And some of those early films were getting more and more like they pulled from the worst of society. So it started as immoral, which should give us some encouragement, by the way.
Okay.
The 20s were kind of like an immoral. In fact, they had some actually like nudity and stuff like that in films back then.
Wow.
And it's like, and so there are two things going on, two camps going on. There was a church was seeing, hey, we can make we can do like passion play, we can do Bible stories and do it on this film thing, this movie thing, whatever it's called, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Movie and pictures. And so there was that going on. then you had people pulling from burlesque and pulling from the worst of society and putting it on the screen.
Wow.
And it got so bad that the film industry was kind of, when it started, it was kind of looked down upon. It was kind of like this, you know, just a little 2-bit kind of Nickelodeon kind of thing. People pay their nickel and see something.
Yeah.
And it was getting so bad that the church rose up.
Okay.
And they said, we want the government to start censoring these movies because it was so bad back then.
Okay. So,
you can feel the encouragement for where we are today. It's like, we've been here before, okay?
Right.
So here's what happened. In the 1930s, they started William Hayes, I think it was William, but anyways, his name was Hayes, who was like the postmaster general.
Yeah.
And what happened was he started the Hayes Commission. Here's what happened.
Okay.
Hollywood said, hey, no, we don't want censorship.
Right.
We don't want that.
Which makes sense,
Because you're violating free speech and all that kind of stuff. Right. Tell you what we'll do. Here's what we're going to do. Okay, churches, you guys, put together a team, all right? Mm. And here's what we're going to do. Every film that we produce has to go through you guys.
Mm.
And if you don't approve the film, we won't distribute it.
Mm.
And the church said, okay.
Yeah.
So this, I got this from Dr. Ted Baer, movie guy.
Yeah.
So he says, they started the Protestant Film Commission, the Catholic League of Decency, and the Southern Baptist Film Commission. So they had these entities. So there's the church at the gate. And they were the enforcers of what was good, what was moral, what was upright.
Right.
They said no profanity. You don't show anybody, a minister of the cloth, don't show them in the negative manner. White will always win. They put all these rules in place in the 30s.
Okay.
And that happened from the 30s to the 60s.
Yeah.
So what's kind of interesting is that coincides with Hollywood's golden age. Mm. Isn't that interesting?
That makes sense.
And so it got more restrictive, but writers had to be more creative.
Mm.
You know, they didn't go into, they did, you know? So all through these years, we had the gate.
Right.
That was the church saying, no, this movie won't be done.
Right.
In the 1960s, they started going around the system. The movie makers, they started doing foreign films. They started doing like ways to work around the system. And we lost our focus.
Wow.
And they decided in the 60s, mid-60s, these three film commissions, they said, you know what? What does that have to do with Jesus and gospel? We're done.
Mm.
And the head of MGM begged them. He says, don't do this. He says, here's this quote. He says, you, out of the meat will rot.
Mm.
They ignored them.
Mm.
And in 1966, they closed their doors.
Wow.
You know what happened 2 years later? Hollywood produced its first X-rated film.
Oh, I believe it. And isn't that interesting, 1966, you said, out of all years, too? I mean, my goodness, you know.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and 2 years later, Hollywood started producing film. So it's like Hollywood didn't abandon the church.
Right.
The church abandoned Hollywood. That's where we are today. And so what's encouraging about had the gate, and I believe there's a time God's calling us to take back that gate.
Yes.
And there's a way it could be, and he's got the strategy. He's got the way to do it. It might be a whole new way of doing things. It might not be a Hayes Commission. It might not be all that kind of stuff.
Right.
He's going to show us the way to take back the gate.
Wow, man. Yeah, I mean, it's all seven mountains that the church needs to be interested in, you know, and I love that seven mountain, you know, reference. It's something you can find online, the seven mountains of influence. When it comes to the Christian community. But, you know, I really appreciate that because it talks about two areas. And one, of course, is, you know, basically media and entertainment, you know, and that's what we're talking about today. And then another one is government. And those are two areas that, for whatever reason, Christians and also education, by the way, three areas really that Christians have really backed away from. And we've seen, you know, because of that, a major impact on society, on our young people, you know, on the direction that our country and even the world has gone as a result of us, because it's almost like a void, you know, that's taken place, or a vacuum there because the church is not present. So I think, you know, if anything, the encouragement, like you said, is that it seems that there is an awakening that's happening, kind of similar, you know, to, I don't know, I mean, different revivals that have happened over the years, or the Renaissance period, maybe, you know, but we're seeing an awakening. Maybe people are getting tired of the immorality, and, you know, they're tired of the education. educational system. They're tired of, you know, what's happened in Hollywood. And so there is people rising up. There's prayer that's taking place. There's different groups that are springing up more and more. Like you said, now Christians in Hollywood is a very large group of people, where only, you know, maybe a decade ago was a much different group of people. Now there's film festivals and, you know, different, you know, companies that are producing, you know, content on a regular basis. I think of like David A.R. Wright and some of the other guys out there that are making, you know, product constantly. I mean, you got the Kendrick brothers and, you know, others that are just, that are, you know, really, we're seeing, Irwin, I mean, brothers. You know, apps and, who was it else? I'm sorry.
Oh, Irwin Brothers.
Irwin Brothers. Yep, exactly. Yeah. And you know, so, these guys are basically parlaying. What they're doing is they're taking the films and the money that they're, you know, making, and then they're reinvesting them and just making even better, more quality content and, you know, higher budget, you know, productions. And so, that's what we're seeing now. And it's really cool. I mean, I can think of like guys like Devon Franklin and others that are just, you know, really out there and, you know, kind of, so we're in a new era now, and, it's exciting. And John, you're a part of it. And, you know, so it's really, really cool what's going on. Not without a cost. Obviously, there's a high spiritual cost, and we talked a little bit about that. But if you're called to Hollywood, into the mission field, you're coming out here, the Lord is going to provide. He's going to open the doors. And we just need to make sure that we stay solidified, like you said, in a community, have intercessors. Great point there. People praying for you. And, you know, kind of give us like anything else that's on your heart, man, before we get ready to close here.
Oh, sure. There's something that comes to mind is, I've heard one of the biggest weapons the enemy uses against us here in Hollywood, and actually overall, is discouragement.
Yeah.
You know, it's not the big things you'd normally think about. Those are out there, but it's discouragement. How many times did the Word does God say, do not be discouraged, do not be dismayed, do not fear? And what's He say right after that? He says, for I am with you.
Amen.
And I love that. In His presence, is the once you get into His presence, you abide in His presence, it's like everything else just fades away. And so I've gone through some, like, moving here has been brutal financially for me. It was brutal at first. It was like scary brutal, but I knew He called me here. And so many times I got discouraged. I was like fearful. It's like I was like I didn't get on the good side of the verse. Okay,
right.
I have learned to tap into the other side of that verse. Do not fear. Okay, I am with you. When you get into God's presence and you share fellowship like we're doing now, you share fellowship with brothers and sisters around you, it's just like it takes you out of that discouragement and into God's encouragement.
Yes.
And one final thing, just if this will help somebody listening, you know, just as you're whatever, you know, Hollywood is good about this, about encouraging our dreams, but it's kind of a false illusion in a way, because it's like, you know, follow your heart, follow your dreams, you know, and there's a little seed of truth in there.
Yeah.
And here's where the shift is. What if, and whatever you're called to do, what if you followed God's dream?
There you go.
What if you followed God's heart? Because I think once we line up with God's dream heart, we are tapping into God's purpose on earth. And when we do that, when we're tapping into God's purpose on earth, we find our purpose on earth.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, if we get in sync with what He's doing, what He's blessing, where He's going, we find our identity, our purpose, our calling.
There you go.
And there's something really cool about it. There's a secret in there. So anyway, just throwing that out there.
That's great, man. No, I think that's a great nugget, and it's a truth nugget. Exactly. You know, man, you just said some really powerful things today. I'm just still going over some of them in my head and just thinking about it, because I relate to so many of the things that you said. And thank you. John, how can we be praying for you, man? What are you working on now? How can we follow you?
Oh, thank you so much. I'm blessed. I'm writing. I feel like I'm in my golden age of writing. I'm writing more than I ever had before, which is really fun.
Very cool.
You know, I feel like God is shifting me more into the battleground. Mm-hmm. And I would just appreciate if anybody puts it on their heart or your heart, or whatever. And I know it's on your heart. You prayed me through here. You prayed me here, and you prayed me through, and I appreciate it. It's like I feel like God's shifted me to the battleground now. It's like, okay, John, you've had. I've been here from. I used to come here on an awful lot, but I moved here permanently in June.
Okay.
And I feel like God is, I've been in a safe place, kind of a safe, kind of like a greenhouse.
Yeah.
I feel like God's taken me out of the greenhouse and put me out there. You know, He's actually put me on the battleground.
Sure.
And that's where, so So I pray, just I would appreciate prayer for that shift.
Amen.
You know, when that happens, just God's blessing, just for God to lead, and I'm following him. I'll follow him in the battle, and that's where I want to be.
Amen.
With him.
That's awesome.
Don't necessarily want to be in the battle. I want to be with him.
I get it, man.
He's in the midst of the battle.
Well, so, you know, to live is Christ, to die is gain, right? Hallelujah.
Yeah,
But, you know, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but good news is that God is able to defeat the enemy, and, you know, he comes like a roaring lion, but the Lord is faithful and just in all his ways. No weapon formed against you shall prosper,
Amen.
And the gates of hell
Amen.
Shall not prevail in Hollywood.
Amen.
And in our right, so that's what we got to remember. And in the midst of attack and trial, none of us are perfect. People can always find something. I always say every day, you know, I say it very clearly, I'm far from perfect, but all we're trying to do is show up and be obedient to what God has called us to do. And
yes.
So John, thank you for being that person. And hold on for a second as we get ready to go to the break, but thank you for tuning in this segment of Remnant News, and we will be back after this break.